The epistle for the eighth Sunday after the Pentecost. Brethren, we are debtors not according to the flesh, that we should live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the flesh, you will live. For whoever are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now you have not received a spirit of bondage, so as to be again in fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by virtue of which we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself gives testimony to our spirit that we are sons of God. But if we are sons, we are heirs also, heirs indeed of God and joint heirs with Christ. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. Taken from that of St. Luke. At that time, Jesus spoke to his disciples this parable. There was a certain rich man who had a steward, who was reported to him as a squandering of his possessions. And he called him and said to him, What is this that I hear of thee? Make an accounting of thy stewardship, for thou canst be steward no longer. And the steward said within himself, What shall I do, seeing that my master is taking away the stewardship from me? To dig I am not able, to beg I am ashamed. I know what I shall do, that when I am removed from my stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. And he summoned each of his master's debtors and said to the first, How much dost thou owe my master? And he said, 100 jars of oil. He said to him, Take thy bond and sit down at once and write 50. Then he said to the other, How much dost thou owe? He said, 100 cores of wheat. He said to him, Take thy bond and write 80. And the master commended the unjust steward in that he had acted prudently. For the children of this world, in relation to their own generation, are more prudent than are the children of the light. And I say to you, make friends for yourselves with the mammon of wickedness, so that when you fail, they may receive you into the everlasting dwellings. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. What is man? Man is a thing. He is a creature. He is both material and spiritual. He has a body with senses. He has a rational soul with an intellect and a will. Man, like all things, acts for an end. Other things like material, such as carbon, oxygen, hydrogen, they act because they are parts of other things and give rise to organic matter. Organic matter, such as a tree, acts to bear fruit and propagate its own species. It may also nourish some other creature. And then there are animals, which have material life, but they also have senses. They can bear a burden for man. They can also propagate their own species. Or they can become man. They can become food for another creature or for man particularly. Man is made of matter. He has a body and senses like the animals. But he differs infinitely from these things and from all other earthly creation, because though he has a body, he also has a spiritual, rational soul. He has an intellect and he has a will. Man's end also differs. Though he has a natural end, he has above all a supernatural end, that for which he was created, which is eternal happiness with God. Unlike the angels, which are purely spiritual, man must live in this world amongst things and other creatures. He does this because he knows through his senses. Naturally, through reason, it can be concluded that man is not the cause of his own existence. Rather, we can see that a higher power must exist, which has given existence to man. As Catholics, we have been given also the gift of divine revelation. This reveals our Creator, his plan for us and for our salvation. We read in the book of Genesis, the creation account, that man gave names to all the creatures of the earth. Man was then given dominion to all these creatures, but it was God who created. In the words of St. Ambrose, We are not masters of what we possess, but rather we are stewards of that which is another's. So all that man is and all that man has is a gift freely given to man by God. Man must decide of his own free will to serve and love the good God who has given him his existence and everything that he has, the God that became incarnate for man to save him upon the cross, so that man might achieve that end for which he was created, eternal blessedness in the beatific vision. It is only by serving and loving God and not taking delight in the material things of this world that we can find true and everlasting happiness. However, we are here on earth for a time and must live amongst these things that we may work out our salvation. So because man is both material and spiritual, he has been given these things, which are material and spiritual, so that man might use them for the attainment of his end. Through these other things which are sensible, such as signs and words, man is able to live, he is able to learn, and then to work out his salvation. Things which are strictly material are not ends in themselves, but rather means, used for some other purpose. These are as tools used by the builder to complete the building of a house. They can also be used for our own good in sustaining life, for the good of another, such as a parent who gives food to the child. In either case, in whatever you do, whether it be something menial, such as cleaning, or using material goods and tending to the poorest of the poor, these things can be used well if they are offered for the love of God and souls and not simply for our own selfish gain. Our spiritual nature can be used for the good as well. God gives all of us, to some greater or lesser degree, certain talents and gifts. These talents and gifts can be used for the common good and to assist others in obtaining their salvation. Doctors, for example, use things that they might bring health to the sick. Civil leaders make laws and use words. They order the multitude, and they are to assist man in the attainment of his natural end. Parents give children education in the things of the faith and nourish them. A priest administers the sacraments and orders the faithful to God. So we can use our talents directly to serve God when we do things such as serve at the holy sacrifice of the Mass or by singing in the choir. But even if we do not possess these talents, there is still much we can do. We are in life allowed a certain amount of leisure time. However, we must also use other time wisely, spending it by learning the things of God and what is required for our salvation, so that we may have eternal happiness and please Almighty God. Above all, we should use this time to pray, to spend time every day in familiar conversation with God, offering ourselves to Him, offering Him our needs and wants for ourselves, for our friends and family, and to offer sacrifices and prayers for the conversion of sinners or the holy souls in purgatory. Also, though that is not a good, there is suffering in this world. And just as Christ accepted His cross, we can also accept ours, offering it back to Him for love of Him as He accepted His for love of us. And through this, a greater good may come of it. So it is important to remember that the end of man in the spiritual life is union with God. As Catholics, we are in a position to do the most good for the honor and glory of God, for our good, and the salvation of other souls. In my recent travels, I encountered a medical student who saw me in CASC and started asking questions. He wondered why I was on the plane. He didn't understand a religious man, I suppose, using something that was, in his mind, dangerous. So he didn't understand the concept that I was using something material to achieve an end to get to my destination. And then as he started talking more, he said he didn't know the difference between Catholics and other Christians. So being a seminarian and thinking, I suppose I knew everything, I tried to reason with him and explain to him scripture and tradition and how this set us apart from all the other Christians. But he still didn't understand a lot of the terms I was using because he was unfamiliar with them. And he saw the world in a strictly material sense. But then looking back, I realized something I didn't mention to him, how God acts through matter for us. I'd forgotten about the church and the seven sacraments, some of the greatest good we have here on earth. These sacraments which belong to the one true church instituted by Christ. The sacraments are things and they are signs. They are goods which God has given us that we should make use of frequently as possible and as is reasonable according to our state in life. They are the means of grace given to us by God that we might have everlasting life. Man has fallen through sin and is by the sacrament of baptism where man is cleansed from sin. So by that material washing, man is also cleansed interiorly. His spirit is freed from original sin. He is then brought into a state of sanctifying grace. And this state of sanctifying grace is a state of friendship with God, the definition of charity. All of these sacraments are ordered towards the Eucharist, which is the greatest of the sacraments. In this sacrament, God uses matter, the bread and the wine, and it becomes the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ, which we receive in Holy Communion. As Catholics, we have been given goods infinitely beyond any good in the natural order. And because of this, we are able to do an immense good for ourselves, for our salvation, for sinners, and above all, for the love of God. God has willed to make us, to create us, that we might be sharers in his divine life. He has given us a free will, that we may love him in return. And he has placed us in this world amongst material things. Man has fallen through sin, and despite this offense against Almighty God, Christ redeemed us on the cross. And he instituted the church and the sacraments to give us grace and to bring us into his friendship. We deserve nothing of what we have. God can give and God can take away. But instead, and despite our rebellion, God has given us everything. As St. Paul tells us in today's epistle, we are debtors, not according to the flesh. We do not own what we have, not even ourselves. We are only stewards, here to work out our salvation in fear and trembling. It is God's will for man to be happy with him in eternity. But because we have free will, we must freely love him in return. That is why we were tested here in this world, to prove our love for him through these material things. He reveals himself to us through tradition, through things such as a liturgy, and we love him back through these things. On Judgment Day, we will have to render an account before God Almighty, who knows and sees everything. We shall be held accountable for all that we have done, for how we have used the goods that he has given us, the time and the talents. If we have used them wisely and for love of God, or if we have been slothful and wasted them in a spirit of self-love. So then, let us offer ourselves, our lives, and all the goods God has given us each day to him, for love of him, all we are and all that we have, that it may be for his honor and glory, for our salvation and the salvation of souls. It would be wise to make this offering each day through the Immaculate Heart of Mary. She is free from sin. She was good, and all the good she has was given to her, and it was greater than that given to all the angels and saints. Her entire life was a perfect offering to God, in which she wasted nothing and lived only for the love and glory of God. If we give all to her and live by her example,